Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and I'm the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
Edward Martinez, Zia Engineering and Environmental Consultants.
Zia Engineering and Environmental Consultants. Let's start off by just explaining what your company does and just maybe a little history about your company as well.
Okay. Zia is an engineering and environmental consulting firm headquartered in Las Cruces, New Mexico. We have been in business, it'll be 17 years this March. And basically, we provide civil engineering and environmental consulting services to municipalities, to private industry, to state and federal government agencies, Department of Defense, Homeland Security, etc. The environmental consulting work consists of both permitting and compliance, especially for industry, as well as archaeological and biological clearances, environmental impact statements, environmental assessments, and remediation and brownfields projects.
Now, when we talk about environmental engineering, the first thing that pops in my mind is technology, how it allows the oil and gas industry to become more environmental, just flat out environmental. And I'm kind of leading the question that way because I want to ask you about the Meridian Energy Group's project, the Davis Refinery, in just a bit. But can you talk about how the environmental aspect has really folded into the world of energy? And maybe if you have some projects you've done somewhere along the line that have incorporated that?
Very much so. Actually, we have a long history of providing services to the energy markets, both oil and gas, as well as electrical and coal, et cetera. And specific to environmental engineering and you know, the work in general that we do for especially oil and gas markets, we've worked on everything from initial feasibility siting for like pipeline projects and refinery sites, tank bulking facilities, etc., through the initial environmental clearances that are required for those sites, but oftentimes include the archaeological and biological reviews, the NEPA environmental assessments and environmental impact statements. As we get over those initial hurdles, we get into the environmental permitting that's required for those facilities. That could include anything from air quality permitting to stormwater management to your stormwater discharge, your wastewater treatment, as relates specifically to your initial exploration sites. It could be reinjection wells, pond permits, that sort of thing, that we handle those. When you get into operations, we handle permitting and compliance, ongoing routine compliance for active permits, as well as help the facility to address site safety issues, those sort of things. When things don't necessarily go right and there might be a spill or that sort of thing, we've assisted facilities in doing spill cleanups, remediation, site clearances, et cetera, and we've even assisted facilities when they're decommissioning to do the overall site cleanups and close out their site, so to speak. So we handle everything on the environmental side from initial siting through when a facility closes down. And we've also assisted on the engineering side in roadway infrastructure for projects, bringing water, wastewater systems to the various facilities, design of their pond systems, design of wastewater treatment facilities on site, those sort of issues. So fairly encompassing through a lot of the areas of both initial startup as well as operations.
Sounds like you guys have run the gamut in the environmental world. And so transition that a little bit to Meridian's Davis Refinery. First greenfield refinery, 25 years, United States. Obviously, they've had to change quite a bit from the old existing plants that probably a lot of people are used to. What makes this new Davis Refinery so different than the ones in the past?
Yes, I mean, the analogy that I use, it's like a Chevy truck. You know, the Chevy trucks of the 60s and 70s, you look under the engine of those vehicles and you look at, you know, a Chevy truck today, and you look under the engine of a Chevy truck today, and they both have engines. They both might, you know, be have a, you know, a 8-cylinder, 350 horsepower, et cetera, but the engines don't look necessarily the same, and they definitely don't operate necessarily the same. And essentially, that's similar to both refinery technology as well as specifically related to what we're doing for Meridian. The air emissions technology and controls today are nothing like what's, you know, was implemented in the past in what most people think of as refineries. You're looking at technology that in many instances was, you know, from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And while in general, at the end of the day, it may look somewhat like a refinery, it's significantly different. The technology has been upgraded in a lot of the basic refinery equipment and systems. And the controls, well, we're not necessarily implementing anything that's, I would say, is new or unique on the air emissions controls. The difference is that we have controls on everything. And in many instances, redundant controls on units. And so from that standpoint, the level of emissions that we're projecting to be released by this facility is, in many instances, you know, a tenth of the emissions that are permitted at other refinery facilities. We're just looking at very, very low emissions through implementation of very, very aggressive controls across the entire gamut of the plant.
Out of kind of all these new technologies and the zero emission technologies that are going into the Davis Refinery, what's the most cutting edge, or what stands out to you the most in terms of technology that is environmentally sound?
Well, the in many instances, oftentimes the level of fugitive emissions from just all the various piping and plumbing throughout the plant is usually one of the greatest sources of emissions from the facility. That's, you know, the fugitive emissions coming from gaskets and elbows, et cetera, et cetera. And at a typical refinery, older refinery, those emissions can literally add up to hundreds and hundreds of tons per year of specifically volatile organic contaminants, VOC emissions from the facility. We're looking at implementing a very aggressive leak detection control program. And we're building in the controls in the design and construction of the facility, so we're not trying to retrofit things in after the fact. And so both from the standpoint of the initial design as well as the implementation of this very aggressive program that'll use optical technology, automated leak detection systems, et cetera. And that's not just on the plumbing and piping, that's also on the tank systems, will be negative pressure systems. A lot of the areas where you usually would typically anticipate emissions will have minimal to zero emissions. And so therefore the flaring systems that people are most familiar with from refinery projects, the flares on this project really will only be operating very, very minimally throughout the year. And when I say minimally, I mean we're talking, to the tune of maybe a couple of hundred hours per year, as opposed to oftentimes you see the older refineries, they're operating the flares almost 24 hours a day. And essentially, the flares will only operate when there is a true upset of the negative pressure systems.
So when I hear the word state-of-the-art, a lot of times I think of the latest technology combined with, say, quality materials, like somebody who would, say, use marble instead of, wood for floors, or somebody who would, get 110% as opposed to 100%. It's not doing the minimum required. In my opinion, that's what state-of-the-art means. Is this refinery doing things along those lines? Like, it's the first one in 25 years, so I imagine they probably would be going above and beyond in most of the different areas for this thing.
Very much so. I mean, this facility will be literally the most controlled facility with the lowest level of emissions for similar-sized operations of any that have been permitted that I'm aware of in the U.S., and as a matter of fact, I've kidded with Meridian that, the majority of the industry is not necessarily going to be very happy with them establishing this precedence. and their comment was, we want to be the greenest facility out there. We don't have a problem with setting the precedence. And if that's what everybody else has to do going forward in the future, then, so be it. We need to. If this is what we can do, that's what we have to do.
They have been very, very
supportive of aggressively implementing controls across the board so that we can bring the emissions down to the point where, for a major facility of this size, we have submitted the application for the air permit as a synthetic minor source, which means we brought the controls down to the point where it is considered a minor source from the standpoint of their level of emissions.
When I spoke to the CEO of Meridian Energy Group a few weeks ago, William Prentice, he talked about how there wasn't going to be smoke coming out of the smokestack, or there's no smokestack, essentially, with the cooling towers. And, when I hear what you're saying about the standards in the industry, given the fact that there really isn't, there has not been refineries built in the United States, is this going to set the new standard for refineries going forward, in your opinion?
Well, I essentially, the way that the regulatory process works for air permits, once a facility establishes that a level of control can be met, it establishes essentially a regulatory target for, okay, that's what other facilities should do in the future. And so it makes it harder for other facilities to say that they can't do that level of control, for some technical reason, because then a regulator can point to, in this instance, this facility and say, well, they were able to do it, at Meridian, why can't you do it in California?
That's got to be good.
And from that standpoint, it does essentially establish somewhat of a precedence for the industry, yes.
As I say, that's got to be good news for an organization like yours that works on this and helps out and is a part of the team to create an industry standard. I would imagine that at the very least, there's got to be some consulting work out of all the future ones.
Well, we are hopeful of that, yes. But one caveat on that. I mean, this is a new facility. It's, and so from the standpoint of implementing new equipment, et cetera, it would establish those standards. I think, you know, for existing facilities, there's still the potential of, okay, there may be a reason from a technological standpoint, et cetera, why a retrofit would not be able to implement to the same level of controls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate the time. It's Edward Martinez, and it's pronounced Zia Environmental Engineers. Is that correct?
Zia Engineering and Environmental Consultants.
Okay, good. I've got that correct now. So, well, is there any final words, any final thoughts that you might have either about the Davis Refinery, your company, or the industry in general? I'll kind of let you have the final word, final direction, however you want to take it. Go right ahead.
Well, specific to the industry in general, I mean, you know, obviously we're excited that with the implementation of this refinery, it's able to show what's possible, and that, you know, based on that, hopefully there will be a more potential for other similar refineries in the future, because I think that's needed within the industry to maximize the profitability of the resource, specifically within the U.S. You know, with the market in general, we're obviously very hopeful that the next few years will be very active, and especially as relates to moving a lot of the exploration projects of the last several years into production. So we'll cross our fingers and hopefully we'll see more projects similar to this going forward.
That holds us laughing, and here's to the sound of one hand clapping, and here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world, and here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.